This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning, and joining me in the studio this morning is, of course, Philip Tse. Let's go through what's happening in global markets, Philip.
I think US markets still under a lot of pressure. The Dow and S&P 500 were down 0.8%, and the Nasdaq was also in negative territory, down 0.9%. But over across in Asia, some light and positive trends. The Nikkei was up 1.3%, Hang Seng up 1.9%, Shanghai Composite up 0.3%, and STI up 0.9%. But unfortunately, FBM KLCI was down 0.2%.
As usual, when Asia goes up, we tend to go down. But to give us a view on where global markets are heading, we're going to speak to Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Good morning, Kingsley. Now, the S&P 500 has been down over the last five trading days, albeit supported somewhat by the big tech like Facebook and Google. Now, is this going to be a short-term pullback or a sign of longer-term consolidation in equity markets?
I think it's the latter. I mean, there are a couple of headwinds in global markets right now. On the one hand, you have got the continuing Delta wave of the pandemic, which has led to a number of companies warning about their inability to maintain production. And indeed, Toyota cut their intended production by 3% for motor cars. And that was largely down to COVID, not the chips. And then you have the rising concern in the USA over the future tax impost to fund the Biden legislative agenda with infrastructure. And obviously, across the water, investors in Chinese stocks continue to be rather shell-shocked by regulatory crackdowns and wondering where it's all going to end. While in Australia, the iron ore bonanza has taken a bit of a backseat on China-imposed steel production quotas. So this does look like a sideways period in markets for us until the smoke clears. And maybe we just have to wait out September and October and come back in November.
Kingsley, meanwhile, we look at the relationship between China and the US. I mean, Biden had a 90-minute phone call with President Xi Jinping. But at the same time, we're getting headlines that the Biden administration is weighing into a new investigation into Chinese subsidies and their damage to the US economy. Does it look like China-US trade ties are damaged permanently?
Well, permanently is a big word. I think they're certainly damaged for the foreseeable future. It's hard to see how, with this continuing elevated rhetoric, that either side is going to be able to climb down soon. And I do have the feeling that a lot of what is said these days, whether it's in China or whether it's in the United States, is largely intended for the domestic political audience. And therefore, the leaders have chosen to ignore what happens in between the two countries because it's really for political ends at home. That may be a bit cynical view, but it does seem that way to us. And therefore, I don't think these trade ties are going to be repaired anytime soon, and probably at least not for the next 2 to 3 years, and maybe, you know, further out beyond that.
And Kingsley, you know, shifting to Singapore, right, because they've seen a surge in cases in the past week. Are you still bullish on their local banks, you know, given their exposure to virtually all economic sectors in the country?
Well, you know, the Singapore banks have had a great run this year. I mean, we still own DBS Group, which is up nearly 50% year to date. But these are not levels where we're looking to add to positions. And indeed, that stock's trading sideways. So we're alert to new opportunities. Singapore is very sensitive to global trade. So one of those opportunities will be buying back into Singapore when we do see a meaningful recovery. The exception right now in terms of strong performance is the shipping stocks, which are booming all around the world. But we've elected to go with holdings in the Danish container giant Maersk, which is listed in Copenhagen. And we also, you know, to invest there, we've chosen to buy the ETF Eden for Denmark because you get a host of leading biotechs along for the ride. Denmark and Singapore, they're really at opposite ends of the earth, but they're not so different in many ways. You know, they have niche high-tech industry, which is what we're alluding to with the biotech in Denmark, and very active foreign trade through the shipping. And the biotech in Denmark is doing great right now. And we think that theme is worth chasing down in Singapore also. You know, the Singaporean government is always on the ball in terms of trying to find new opportunities for the city-state.
Kingsley, I think you're the first commentator I've ever heard recommending Denmark's Danish stocks. An interesting idea there. But meanwhile, looking at chip-making companies in the US and Europe, are they on your radar? Or are there other places that are worth considering, like the chip makers in Taiwan and South Korea?
Like, that's a fantastic question. Obviously, US dominates the design part of the supply chain. You know, Apple itself, they design chips, but they obviously don't make them themselves. They outsource that to Taiwan. Some of that has been onshored into both the US and Europe. And there you're seeing huge equipment orders for the machines that are used to fabricate chips. These are hugely expensive capital equipment items. And that market is dominated at the mid-tier by Applied Materials and Lam Research in the United States and KLC, Tencor, and in Europe by ASML Holdings, which is the one we own. We prefer ASML in Europe because they really dominate. They have a monopoly on what's called extreme ultraviolet technology, which is the high end of the high end. And in the United States, they don't have any of that. But out here in Asia, you know, Japan is really on a tear, and that's where we're looking to add positions. We recently added semiconductor testing firm Advantest 6857, and the photonics firm, a little known photonics firm, we love it, called Hamatsu Photonics. They make laser diodes and other things, 6965. Other firms such as LaserTech 6920 and Tokyo Electron 8035 are really on a tear if you look at the share prices right now. You could chase that, but we're preferring to stand back with those other names. And elsewhere in the semi space, you know, obviously we like Taiwan Semi. That is the monster of this area, listed in both the United States and Taiwan, but all its business is in Taiwan. And the little junior there is United Microelectronics, UMC. We used to own that, and we'll probably go back in because they had a recent earnings announcement, and it looks like their period of super profits is set to continue. Just for context, they're making chips at 14 nanometers and above, which is the old school technology. It wasn't very profitable until the IoT boom hit, the Internet of Things, and that's what's really driving the chip shortage right now. So they've got solid days for their assembly lines, which are all depreciated, and they're just minting money right now. So we think that's a good opportunity. And over in China, although it is on the regulatory ban list, SMIC is busy expanding in these technologies, which are old school, but very profitable right now and not on the US sanctions list.
And while the resource supercycle has been a boom for miners such as BHP and Rio Tinto, there's a global shift towards the decarbonization of energy. So are you looking at any companies within this sector?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, lithium stocks, they're looking fully priced right now. You know, obviously there's a big ramp up in demand for future EVs, but lithium itself is not scarce. So the main names we own there is the major diversified major mineral resources, which is probably got a good entry right now with a pullback off iron ore and project developer Gallon Lithium. Battery metals overall is a hot theme, but what we really like at this time is copper. And I think that's because the copper price is firm, but investors are perhaps a little shy of really stepping up for some of the new copper projects which are there. We own established copper miner Southern Copper in Peru, but obviously with the new government there, there's some concern about higher taxes. And that's a good reason to go to other jurisdictions. So we own Oz Minerals in Australia, which has a big active copper mine in South Australia. And we're looking at a host of copper juniors. There are many jurisdictions all around the world where you can find copper, and we're looking at all of them. But right now, we think brownfields mine restarts in Queensland, Australia look pretty interesting. You know, that state's been a big copper producer over time, and explorers right now, they're going back into the classic mining camps of Mount Isa, the Cloncurry, and Townsville.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his views on global markets. And like I said, the interesting thing, he highlighted Danish stocks. I never thought we'll go there.
It's a proxy for Singapore and Europe, I presume. Small, contained environment, you know, specialized in high tech.
Yeah, also exposed to shipping, which is booming at the moment. He mentioned biotech specifically. Mm. Now, the other interesting point is that chips are hot. Okay, there's no denying it, right? Yeah, there's a massive global shortage out there. So there are chip, he mentioned a whole host of names, whether it's in South Korea, whether it's in Japan, and
Taiwan.
even Taiwan, and also China.
Yes.
So lots of opportunities in that space, clearly. I think, as you can tell, automakers particularly having a massive shortage, car makers saying, hey, we can't get our cars out fast enough, we can't get these chips, and supplies will be constrained till 2022. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.